Well, please turn in your Bible to Colossians chapter 2. We continue this series that we are doing in this letter. And today we look at chapter 2 and the first five verses. So let's listen and follow carefully to what Paul says. This is God's word. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not met me personally. My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you by fine-sounding arguments. For though I am absent from you in body, I am present with you in spirit, and delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. So please do keep your Bible open this morning as we come to look at this passage. And let me begin by asking this question. What does a pastor do? No smart comments or thoughts, please. Does a pastor run a church, or does a pastor give themselves to the cure and care of souls? Wonder what you think. Paul had never been in Colossae. And yet we see here this wonderful example of a deep-rooted concern for those whom he had never met. These believers who lived along the Lycus Valley and that southwestern part of what we now know as the country of Turkey. And as we look at these verses, we are going to notice how Paul and the apostle highlights his own heart. It's like shining a torch into the heart of the apostle. We see him for who he is. And as we see his heart for these people, this word challenges Christian people and Christian churches in every place and in every generation about their own heart and about their own life and about their own witness. You don't have to turn to it, but Psalm 142 and verse 4 is quite a well-known text. And I quote from the Authorized Version, "I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul." No man cared for my soul. Who cares for your soul? And whose soul do you care for? The Colossians could not have said, "No man cares for our souls," because the apostle here shows an intense concern and care and love for these Colossians. And the care and the cure of souls, as you may be noticing, is a thread that is running through this passage this morning. Now, a few weeks ago, we noticed how Paul in the earlier verses, just at the end of chapter 1, he spoke of a joy in the midst of suffering. He spoke of a proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is absolutely central to all things for him. And he spoke of this concern for the church. And today, if you like, we are drilling down. In life, you hear about people. Let's drill down into that a little bit. And they're not necessarily talking about drilling a hole in the ground. They're talking about drilling down into an idea, drilling down into something, and let's see what is here. And folks, this morning, as we drill down into this deep apostolic concern for the church, I believe we will come across a rich seam of gold. Not only for any here today who want to serve the Lord Jesus in and through his church, but for the church as a body. There is something here for all of us. And it is my heartfelt prayer that we will hear what God is saying to us from this passage. And much of it is to do with our corporate and our loving concern, one for the other. One for the other. And it's interesting, in the dates for the diary and the bulletin, you will see that we're flagging up that post-summer, just at the end of the summer, God willing, we have another United Teaching Week. And the theme for that is most probably going to be similar to some of the things I'm touching on this morning. The concern that we ought to have one for the other. We touched on this, if you may remember, about a month ago at the pre-communion, as we thought of some of those one another passages. And I just mentioned this in passing, where the scriptures say to us that we are to love one another. We are to honor one another. We're to bear with one another. We're to forgive one another. We're to teach one another. We're to admonish one another. We're to serve one another. We are to encourage one another. And we have that similar type of message coming through here this morning as we come to this passage in Colossians chapter 2. First of all, we have here a concern in these first three verses. If you've got your Bible, please look at what the text says. It says here, and I'm reading an NIV, it says, "I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea." Laodicea was just down the road. It was a bit like Kilkeel is Colossae and, you know, Nyeri was Laodicea. So he's concerned for all of these people. And interestingly, he uses this word, which he had used just a few sentences previously, verse 29, "To this end I labor, struggling." And again, here at the start of chapter 2, "I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, how much I'm struggling for you." Paul was far away. Paul was most probably under a kind of house arrest, in a prison situation, arrested for the faith. But is he sitting there looking at the four walls, feeling sorry for himself? No, not at all. He's concerned for the church of Jesus Christ. And we need to pick up on that. And we need to, not just, as it were, be sitting looking at the four walls, but have a deep-rooted, God-given concern for the things that God would put upon our hearts. And these verses tell us much of the apostolic heart. Look at just some. Let me just draw out some of the things that are here. Colossians 2 and verse 2. There's three things here I just want you to notice very quickly. "My purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart." Encouraged in heart. The church ought to be a community of encouragement. Encouragement, actually, as someone once said, is the oxygen to the soul. It's like oxygen to the soul. And in the same way, if you don't have oxygen, well, I don't need to say anything else. If we don't actually have encouragement, if we don't pick up on the need to encourage one another, actually, our souls at some level will struggle big time. So the cure and care of souls, a large spoonful of encouragement, please. And for those of you who do read the little bulletin and the Be Inspired, which probably will be taking a little holiday for a month or so, and you will see the words of R.E.O. White there, encouragement is a gracious, rare, and indispensable ministry. Let me ask you a question. Why is it so rare? Why is it that sometimes in the Church of Jesus Christ, we do not encourage one another in the way that we ought? Why is that? That is a most peculiar thing. It seems to me that one of the places in this world where one ought to find the most encouragement is in the Church of Jesus Christ. And yet, without saying too much, I sometimes worry, has the evil one played some kind of a masterstroke? We need to resist him. We need to battle against him. And oh, for more of the Barnabas spirit. Do you remember Barnabas, who was called a son of encouragement? So brother and sister in Christ, let us encourage one another. The next thing that Paul mentions here is a lovely little picture. In the NIV, it says, it's verse 2, united in love. If you're reading an AV or an ESV, you have a phrase which actually, I think, gets to the root meaning more accurately, knit together in love. I'll resist the temptation to go down the anecdotal illustrative road of, are you a knitter? That wouldn't work out well for me. But it's a lovely picture of people being brought together and woven together and bound together in the cords of Christian love. And it's about Christian unity, isn't it? And the unity of Christians is no small thing. Like, think about it. Every congregation brings together lots of different people. Sometimes it's the coming together of opposites. Everybody is different in personality, in talent, in bankroll, in outlook, and in opinion. So many differences. And throw into that mix the possibility of different opinions about spiritual things, and you can see how disunity can easily come about. Let me ask you another question. I'll be gunked if you shout out the answer now. What is more important, love or truth? Well, that's not a fair question. That's not a fair question, because both are really, really important. And whenever love and truth come together, you get unity. You get true Christian unity. When love and truth come together, when they are knit together, you get true Christian unity. And over the years, I and maybe other pastors in this place have quoted those words, which actually go back many centuries. And I don't have them on the screen, so listen carefully, that in essentials, let there be unity. In non-essentials, let there be liberty. And in all things, let there be charity. Unity in the essentials, liberty in the non-essentials, and there's plenty of those, and charity in all things. Oh, that God would knit us together in love. Oh, that God would make us peace builders within the church and wherever we go. Encouragement and unity and understanding. And Paul says here that they may, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. What's this understanding? Well, it's not just information. We sometimes think, oh, I understand this, I have the information. That's not what Paul is primarily speaking about here. It's not just about information. It's about a spiritual enrichment. And encouragement and unity that he's been speaking about are part of this understanding. And this understanding promotes a unity and an encouragement. It's all part of a peace. And Paul says here, and this is really central to what he's saying here. Look at the end of verse 2. In order that you may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that you may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. So where are we going to find this understanding? We find it in Jesus. How are we going to be knit together in love? When we have Jesus centrally in our hearts. How are we going to encourage one another in the way that we ought? When we have Jesus centrally in our hearts as Lord of all things. You see, he is preeminent. He is supreme. He is sufficient in all things. He is the great mystery of God that has now been revealed. He is everything. He is everything. And the late James Phillips speaks about these verses and says this, about growing and all of these things. And I quote him, and he says, it involves digging ever more deeply into that rich treasure house of God's wisdom and knowledge, which is Christ. Tell me this afternoon, are you digging? And I'm not asking you, are you digging the new potatoes? You might be doing that, but I'm asking you, are you digging? Are you digging into Jesus? You see, isn't it true that sometimes we're just playing around with these things? We're not really digging. We're not really going after Jesus in a serious way. Paul's deep concern is that that would be happening. I have to keep moving here. There's a concern, but there's also a word of warning. Isn't it true in life that there's always something potentially around us to pull us down? You ever felt that? Always something. Some situation, some context, some thing that has maybe happened or whatever. And it has such potential to pull us either down or to pull us away from really going on with Jesus. In the context of Colossae, The problem was some other people who had raised themselves up and said, well, look, Paul, he's okay, but listen, we've got the real answer here. If you want the really full thing, the full message, the full gospel, will you come and you follow us? And people were in danger of being drawn away. Now, for us, it can be different things. It may or may not be for us at this moment in time a concern about false teaching that is rising up. But it may actually be because Paul is trying to protect these believers. He's wanting to care for these souls. He's wanting to help these dear souls. And for us, What does it mean for you and me to protect one another and to protect the souls around us? Well, it might actually mean at a very practical level that we will take seriously the modern day vices that are on the streets of Kilkeel. The abuse of alcohol, the serious drug problem that is in our community, and the people in our community who peddle these drugs and seem to go untouched, pray that God would deal with them. And the rampant pornography that our young people are looking at on their smartphones every day and destroying their brains and their hearts. Folks, this is reality. We're talking about the cure and the care of souls. Well, parents, people within the church, people within the community, we need, if we take the Lord seriously, to take these things seriously and to be deeply concerned. And Paul here is deeply concerned. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you or no one may delude you. And folks, people are being deluded today. It may not be by the fine-sounding arguments that Paul had to deal with in Colossae, but it is by other things. And maybe those of you who listen to this and somebody here this morning, maybe in your own heart you are in danger of being deceived and deluded by something that only you are aware of, or only you and maybe a few other people within your private situation, and you're in danger of being deluded and drawn away. And I warn you today, as a minister and as a pastor, to deal with that thing, deal with that issue, before it gets any further grip on you. And here's the last thing, a happier note, because there's a concern here and there's a warning and there's a joy. The Apostle Paul spoke before about the joy back in verse 24. He says here in verse 5, "For though I'm absent from you in body," this happy verse, "I'm present with you in spirit, and I delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith in Christ is." Delight to see you. It actually, the word that he uses is about rejoicing. Rejoicing. Despite all the problems, despite the challenges, the apostle is encouraged. He's encouraged that these people are standing orderly and firm. It's a kind of a military background, and it reminds us that the Church of Jesus Christ is actually an army of ordinary people. But let me try and gather this together as I conclude. Gathering all of these pictures together, the concern, the warning, the joy, as Paul is concerned for the care and the cure of souls, it presents us with a wonderful rounded picture of what it means to serve the Lord Jesus. As I finish, let me ask you this. Is it possible that for someone here today, or for different people here today, that you have allowed some issue, some problem, some difficulty to obscure and to overshadow all the good things about the Christian life? You've lost your joy. And Scripture says to you today, don't lose your joy. Don't allow whatever it is to keep you back. But enter in afresh to all that you have in Jesus. Dig into the treasure store. Dig down into the rich seam of gold that is there. And discover more of Christ. And discovering more of Him, being encouraged in your own soul that you might be an encouragement to others, being blessed in your own soul that you might be knit together in love with other souls, being blessed in a fresh understanding that you might be enabled to help those around you in the power of Christ. Let us just bow for a moment's prayer. Father, we touch on deep things here, and time seems to go so quickly. But we pray that as we finish this morning, that we would not only sing the words, but we would genuinely have a desire to help one another, to encourage one another, to love one another, and all in the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, hear our prayer. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen.